especially with interleague play being involved. Big shout out to the Braves organization for proving a lot of naysayers that it was going to fall by the wayside here at the end of the season. So today, let's see, hopefully my computer here is not going to give me a hard time. And it looks like it does want to do that. So let's try to do plan B. All right. And I'm just going to pull up my screen here because for whatever reason, my plan of action has failed me. So let's go to, let's do here. And there we go. All right, so let's do this here. Let's exit all these pages that do not want to serve me any purpose at the moment. So again, we have upcoming here. Let's go over to the next page. Yeah, sorry for the delay on here. So right now we got Detroit and Kansas City. And let's do this real here. So Oakland and Houston, as I iterated earlier today. And so Oakland and Houston at 210, Detroit, Kansas City at 215. Mets and Chicago Cubs. Starting 5 minutes. Hey, good afternoon here. This is JB from SS1. Here we are on this Sunday, beautiful Sunday, as we do have here. And it's going to be September 2nd. And, you know, we got about 50 minutes here before we start. Try to do a little bit segment here. Just give a little bit of strategy for today. A lot of things heating up, you know, people as myself, things that are very notable as now is the NL West, of course. And, you know, it's funny how sometimes things like this are anticipated as schedules are done. Here going down to final stretch here before October gets here, and we have Arizona and the Dodgers here at the top of the NL West that he tied. Somehow, Dodgers find a way to squeak the game out yesterday. So they're winners of their last two. I did play Kershaw last night. He wasn't his best. And my actual lineup last night, I had an opportunity to put Paxton in there, and I didn't. And it cost me a lot there on the back end. Paxton coming back from his forearm injury looked very good out there. Had a tough matchup against Oakland, as a matter of fact, but he held his own. And let's get to it. That's the first game. Oh, I'm sorry. I was analyzing the Dodgers game, but the first game on the matinee here is Detroit Tigers and the Yankees. In that matchup, we have Lance Lynn on the mound. Ironically, they're heavy favorites today. I do know Detroit has not been very good as of late. Pitching has been struggling for the Tigers here lately. They're losers of their last two. Their last 10, they're 2-8. Yankees are still kind of battling there. I mean, there is some light at the end of the tunnel. They're 7.5 games back of Boston. Don't really anticipate them probably catching Boston. Duke Boston is actually playing very good ball still. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They're always playing above 500 in their weekly matchup. So they got the White Sox coming up again today. But basically, most of the lineups are already posted. We saw McCutchen actually go to the Yankees, and they're giving him a start today. He's at the top of the order. It's kind of funny because I said that The Yankees needed a better presence at the top of the lineup. I know Gardner is a seasoned veteran. He is the face of that franchise in that lineup and will be. I think they will continue to keep him around for tutelage and veteran leadership for some of the young guys coming up. But I think they just need somebody else that could be a more of a, you know, more of a threat. And I want to say, you know, a little bit more speed, even though Gardner still can run, but just a more defined leader presence there. You know, we know Cleveland has Lindor. We know Boston has Betts. You know, at times the Braves would put Acuna Jr. at the top. You know, you have some really good young guys, and then they can hit for power a little bit more. You know, they can run, they can hit for power, they can bunt. You know, they can hit singles when needed. They don't have to try to be a hero all the time. So we'll see how this McCutchen experience plays out. I like Mickey coming up to the third spot there. Batting front, we know they get Gary Sanchez back off the DL. They experiment with some of their last minute additions. Even Adini Hickavera is in batting in the A spot. They got him from Miami. He used to play with the Marlins there. Pretty interesting lineup. It looks like they're going to give Stanton the day off. So this is a team, even with Stanton on the lineup, with a few additions they have and juggling the lineup back and putting Sanchez in the cleanup, this is a game that they should take care of. There's a lot of right-handers in there. Boyd is a lefty. I'm definitely say, hey, take the Yankees here. You can even get very, very aggressive, and even, you know, if you're in a multi-lineup here on DraftKings today, put a Yankees stack in. Right now, Boyd is at 4.22 ERA. He's 8-12 on the 500. He has a lot of strikeouts on the year. He hasn't pitched against the Yankees, so that could be a good or bad thing. We just don't know how that would play out, but I think it more favors the Yankees with him being a lefty and a lot of those righties in their lineup. And with him just being hit a lot, you know, he's giving up. He has some multi-home run games where he's giving up more than a home run. You know, just about every other game he gives up the long ball. He didn't do very good back on the 28th against Kansas City on the road. He gave up 5 earned runs and 6 innings pitch. Another 4 when he does bad. Looks like he doesn't do very good on the road at all. He did pitch again in Kansas City back on July 25th. I think he was in a different state of mind then. Pitched pretty good then, but that's inconsistent. That's inconsistent. He's averaging FPPG of 14.7. That means pretty mediocre. I mean, you just don't know when to trust him. You don't know when he's going to come out and do something good. based on his last start on the road, didn't look very good, and then he's pitching a batter's park today in Yankee Stadium. If it was more of a pitcher's park, I would have been maybe if you wanted to take a flyer on him with Stan not being in the lineup and some new characters in the lineup, you could say, hey, let me pitch him out there. But it's kind of a risk to play Boyd today with him being such a heavy favorite on the money line. Right now, the Yankees are minus live 255. Playing pretty good again in their last 10, they're 7-3. They have a lot to fight for down the line. And so that Detroit lineup, they're just not they're not really generating too much right now. I'm not going to even really go into that lineup too much. I mean, you know, Lynn is a right-hander. You know, he came over from St. Louis. He's scoring a 4.84 ERA on the season. Pretty decent strikeout margin. His whip is kind of high, 1.57, 12.9. He had a no decision in his last start, didn't win against Miami, and then 2 no decisions before that. So he does give up a lot of hits, doesn't go very long innings. Boone is probably going to have bullpen help here. He was just pretty much a late flyer to help boost the star rotation. They had a lot of rookie experimentation that didn't go very well for the Yankees before the All-Star break. So they just said, hey, let's just get a probably a 4 for a third starter on another team and add a little bit more veteran, and have hopefully this guy can just give us a solid 5 innings pitches when he comes out more than half the time. But it hasn't been going as well. He had a great start when he first came over, but he's went back to the old Lance Lynn. Now this is a game where he can come out and definitely dominate, at least give more than above average numbers, keep the ERA at least around 2 if he's going to give up a couple runs. In his last 3 games, has been 3 earned runs and 5 and then 5. So for someone looking at Vegas lines over and under, I mean, if you want to over under in this game is 8.5. All right, now you look at Detroit. In their last, I mean, they only put up 1 run the other night. I mean, they're not a big run producing machine at this point in time. Lynn does give up a lot of runs, but I wouldn't really look at an over in this game. Not too much power in that lineup either right now with Detroit. They really, out of all the teams here lately, they had a little bit there going with identity, but I don't really know what the organization's trying to do. They haven't really made much moves, so they're probably just more focusing on their farm leagues and trying to get their young talent to come up here. So I like all New York in that game. Like I said, just looking at the lineup, I wouldn't really mess with Sanchez at the moment. Well, you really want to see where he is. He's going to have a big, important part. He has McCutcheon, Hicks, and Andujar batting in front of him. In my podcast, I'm a big, big fan of Andujar. I think he can definitely give Boyd some issues there today. Torres looks very good. We've seen Luke Voit just tear it up here in the month of August. We're into September now, but he's going to have a lot of opportunities batting behind Sanchez, Andujar, Hicks, McCutcheon, and Torres to do a lot of opportunities to get on base, maybe drive some runs in. He's going to definitely get pitches to hit. Not a big fan of Hecavaria. He strikes out a lot. He's $3,100 for his salary. And then they have Garner at the bottom of the lineup, which to me could be the beginning of the lineup. Yeah, he's a nice lefty there. Going against Boyd. So they put him at the bottom of the lineup. Again, he's a lefty. So normally the law of averages say lefties will have a little bit more issues. But still, he will maybe get some opportunities there. If Romine and Voit comes up in the beginning of an inning and they get on base, he may have some opportunities today. He does fight off a lot of pitches. He does understand the strike zone very well. So, very complete lineup. There's still some power in that lineup with Voit, Torres, Sanchez, Andujar, even Hicks. So, don't take that lineup for granted. The salaries are pretty reasonable. No one in the lineup is over $4,500 with the exception of Torres and Hicks. So if you do take Torres and Hicks, who can, when they're on, they can go multi-home run in one game, definitely make sure that you're very comfortable with that. I think a lot of people will probably fly on them today because just because of the kind of matchup it is. And there's so many other big names out there, like, you know, Chris Davis hit. He hit his 40th home run yesterday. You got people who are getting a little bit more spotlight. These are younger guys, but they can do just as good as the damage. So, the Yankees are there. I mean, you can't really expect much from Lance Lynn. I mean, he's $8,800. I mean, you put him in your lineup. I mean, most he's going to probably get you 20 points. I mean, you know, he's probably not going to go very long in the inning. He's been doing pretty decent with the strikeouts, 5, 6, 5, and 8 in his last 4 starts. He had 9 against the White Sox back on August 6th. So he has been giving you about 5 strikeouts average a game in his last 5. And he's been going 100 pitches. So this is somebody at 8,800 with an easier matchup that you could possibly just say, hey, you know, he can help me get some batters. He's not over $9,000. They're boosting him up. He was $7,800 back on August 28th. against the White Sox, $8,000 against Miami, $7,900 against Toronto. You paid $9,300 for him against Texas back on August 11th. He gave you 20 fantasy points. So all the law of averages is saying, even though he's around $9,000, he should definitely exceed his FPPG. What that will be, you have to estimate what you want. If you think he's going to get 20 and the 8,800 is worth it, then you have to do your math on that. All right? So we'll move on from that. We got Toronto against Miami here. I'm only seeing on DraftKings right now. I'm going to do a refresh here. And thankfully today, my computer is working a lot better. So right now, I see this Sean Reed Foley for the Blue Jays. Again, Blue Jays, I don't know where they're finding their pitchers from, but I just wish I can wake up one day and see a highlight of one of their pitchers just having a complete game or a double-digit strikeout game or just a shutout or something. I mean, their pitching is such a big experiment right now. putting something in. I want to see another page here for daily lineups. DraftKings, you guys gotta do a lot better, man, getting these lineups done. So they have Candelario at the top, Jacoby Jones, Castellano batting third. They got Goodrum in the fourth position, Matuk fifth, McCann sixth, Rodriguez seventh, Lugo eighth, Victor Reyes ninth. Pretty much the same kind of lineup they've been running. So Foley, I didn't have a comment on the Detroit lineup because it wasn't posted yet on DraftKings, but there you go. And it looks like it's going to be fine, only a 1% chance of rain in that game. Again, Toronto 61-74, Miami 54-82. Both teams just pretty much just looking and materializing where they're going for next season. This is just more of getting experience for the young guys. We know Morales had that home run. Race he did. He fell short by one game, but it was still an astonishing feat he did, hitting that many home runs in consecutive games. I think it was like six games he did it for. He's going for the record there. But they got McKinney at the top of the order. Devon Travis. They got Kendrick Morales there in the third, with Gritcher back fourth, Gurriel fifth, Aledmys Diaz sixth, Teoscar Hernandez seventh. And they've been moving him around a lot. It's a heavy right-handed lineup today, with the exception of McKinney. We know they've moved on from Curtis Granderson and Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson with the Indians now. And just a whole completely rebuilt focus now for Toronto. They're just tearing it down and starting completely over. Luke Maddox, the catcher, and then Foley, the pitcher, is a National League game, so they'll have to put a pitcher in there to bat, which is something that they don't normally do. They're not accustomed to, and under consensus is 63% from Miami. They're minus 105 on the money line today, and 37% consensus for Toronto. I really don't see Toronto doing too much. I don't really like that lineup they have in there. I mean, Foley has a high ERA here. I mean, you look at his game log here. He gave up 7 hits and 4 innings pitched, 6 earned runs against the Yankees. Didn't do much in that game. Lost his 2 starts so far this year. Only got 9 strikeouts on the season and about 9 innings pitched. So, it's not really, he's giving up just as much runs given up as strikeouts, and almost half the home runs in innings pitch. He gave up 4 home runs and about 9.1 innings pitch. High whip at 2.04. He has some issues here. Now, it's Miami. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something about Miami. People think when Miami comes to town, it's like some about team that they can just kind of recuperate against and get your stuff straight. But Miami, they're gaining momentum. They're trying to actually again, materialize something, some momentum going in for next season. Just like Tampa Bay is playing very good at this moment. Tampa Bay is 8-2 in their last 10. And they're above 500, you know. The organization down there is putting together a good game plan and a good nucleus of young talent down there, because they know they've been put in a division where they have to have a great competitive spirit to compete with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and they're gearing the mindset of the organization to be able to battle with those teams and have a strong mindset and determination to play in the American League East. I think they're preparing themselves much better than Baltimore and Toronto is at this time. Toronto's a little bit behind in that. Don't like any of the pitchers in that game, most likely. Jeff Brigham is the pitcher for the Marlins. Foley's a right-hander, so he's going against JT Riddle there at the top of the order. Brian Anderson, Real Muto, you got Castro, Ortega, Brinson, Wallach, Sierra. So, I mean, Starlin Castro there, batting fourth, I'm just not. Always the bubblegum man. He's always there chewing bubblegum. Him and them, Adam Jones. I don't know who chew bubblegum the fastest and the hardest when they're up in the box. But anyway, I like Real Muto a lot. I think he actually had a good game the other night. Yeah, he had a real good game. He had 21 fantasy points. He's been one of the more consistent batters. He's batting 288. He's going for 20 home runs or more this year. Just quietly doing his job in that Marlins lineup. Will he continue today? He got a good matchup. He had a homer yesterday, two hits. He had a walk, you know, scored, batted a run in, and he scored two runs in his three at-bats. And then he had 7 and 14 and 19. Had a pretty good series against Boston and Atlanta when he played. So he's definitely highlighting that lineup. And on the other side, we have Devon Travis batting the second slot there. Quite interesting. Sometimes they experiment with him at the bottom of the lineup, but he's batting second today. I think if Devon really works on his craft, he can become an all-around good player. He strikes out a lot. He has to understand the strike zone a little bit more. He does. Can he hit for power? He can steal. He can run. He can hit to different opposite sides of the field. I mean, he has what it takes to definitely make it in this league. His defense is subpar. But if he continues to work, he can definitely be someone they can put there in the top of the order and do multiple things and show different assets. And he's batting in front of Morales. He's going to definitely get pitches to hit today. And Grichuk, you know. So, Smoke is off today. We got the shortstop, Gurriel, there, batting fifth. And I like their lineup. Brigham, he's a right-hander, so he's going to get a little bit of... he's not going to go against too much lefties in the lineup, but Morales, I believe, is a switch hitter, so he will be banned from the left side. But it's a little bit of power in that lineup. You got Teoscar Hernandez, Diaz can hit for power. Grichuk has been doing a very good job this year. They've given him the opportunity right there to bat fourth in that lineup. He's going to get opportunities today. He's another one chasing for 20 home runs. He's probably due. He hasn't hit a home run in his last three games. Didn't do anything yesterday or the day before except for he had an RBI. He has struck out in his last three games, one strikeout consecutively in the last three games. But Grichuk is a guy. I like the middle of that order there, you know, against a guy who has to come up and pitch and doesn't have a lot of experience. He may struggle with that 3, 4, and 5 spot in that Toronto lineup. Quietly, Toronto definitely can give you percentage on play. They're not going to be highly rostered, but on a good matchup, I mean, they can generate some runs there. I mean, those guys can definitely bat each other in. One or two can come up with a couple runs on base and get you a 3 home run spot. So don't sleep on the Blue Jays today. I know right now they're not favorites, but I do like their offense. They're not favored because the pitcher on the mound has a high ERA. Vegas is not going to look foolish and do anything like that. Both teams in their L10 are not doing good. I mean, right now Toronto's 5-5, L10, and Miami is 4-6. For two underachieving teams, that's kind of what you expect because they're experimenting with pitching, moving lineups around. Dagger's game is more of a percentage owned game if you want to pick some players out of that. I did not mean to do that. Sorry about that. You know, I mean, again, Real Muto is a catcher there. If you look, let's see here. And if you look at that catcher's position, let's just look at that position. He's there. You go. He's top. He's top right there in the picture right there behind, right in front of Gary Sanchez. So you're gonna pay for that. Is it worth it? I say yeah. I mean, because after that you got Sanchez, Garvin, Molina, Pena. It goes kind of downhill real quick. They got Contreras at 3,300 because he's going against Nola today. We got Romine at 3,300. He does have 9 homers on the year. He hasn't hit a home run probably in his last 4 games. It doesn't give you a lot of FPPG. And you got to look at that. I mean, you want somebody that's going to be in a position to do something for you. You know, Molina has power. He hasn't went deep in a while. He's been, you know, hasn't had a double-digit performance in quite some time. Saying his last 5 games. His pitching matchup today is not too bad. He's going against Descalfani. And right now, as for pitching, Descalfani is 3rd ranked here on DraftKings at 9,000. He has a 4.35 ERA. He has a winning record at 7-4. Doesn't strike out a lot. He has 75 strikeouts on the year. But he did do pretty good in his last 4 games, 6-5, 5-9, going for Ks. Double-digit fantasy points, 18.2 against Milwaukee, 10.1 against the Cubs. That was on the road. 21.1 against San Francisco and handled Arizona pretty good. So his whip is pretty nice, 1.21. So, I mean, is this somebody that if you was to try to look at a catcher position and take Molina? Probably not. You know, he is bench 2nd in that lineup. So his opportunities to maybe bat somebody in may not be as much today. So I just want to do a quick synopsis of just the catchers there and if Real Muto was probably worth flying. I think, yeah, 4,800 and what he has to deal with, they're batting in the 3rd position and against Reed Foley, he should have some opportunities. We'll get into that later. We'll move on to this Milwaukee and Washington game. And we see the Washington organization still juggling things around. They found a way to get back to 500 yesterday. And they're 68-68. Holland actually got the win yesterday. It was a hardly fought game against a good Milwaukee Brewers team. And they won 5-4. And right now, looking at Milwaukee, they are falling back. They're 6-4, not bad in their last 10. But they're 5 games behind the Cubs at the moment. St. Louis a half a game in front of them. They're playing a little bit better, 7-3. So, team's really trying to fight it out in that Central again, in El Central. Right now, they send Manny Pena up to the mound. And then, not Manny Pena, I'm sorry. They send Guerrero up to the mound. And he's scoring an FPPG of 13.4. Didn't do very good in his last game. Very bad. I mean, he only lasted 1.1 inning. Gave up 8 hits in that. 6 earned runs. Gave up a home run. He got in a lot of trouble against Cincinnati on the road. And let's just look at that. In away games, he's bad. I mean, he's 6.75 ERA, 8.2. He's averaging 13.4 in a year FPPG, but he just does not find his niche on the road. He's given up in the 10 games started 7 home runs. Doesn't strike out as much. You know, he has 15 games started at home. All right. And in those 80, it's twice as much. So 85 innings pitched, he's given up 75 hits at home. But look at this, 46 innings pitched on the road, he's given up 60 hits. So he's traveling on the road again against a pretty well-managed team in Washington. This is just somebody, man, you can't trust. I mean, he did pretty decent in the one game he started. He didn't. It was a no decision. He gave you 6 innings, 4 hits. He gave up a long ball. His whip was at 1.00. All right. So, I mean, Washington has probably changed a lot since then. But this is a team that can definitely generate runs at home. And the lineup's going on here. They got Adam Eaton at the top. Two good leadoff hitters for both teams. Granderson for Milwaukee, Eaton for Washington. You got Turner, Harper, Rendon, Soto. I mean, amongst all the moving around, and you know, they could have afforded to give away Danny Murphy. They still got some good players in this lineup. You know, you got Reynolds and Defoe, Keboom for his defense. Rodriguez pitching today. Jeffrey Rodriguez is 4.54 ERA. He's 2-1. Again, Guerrero 6-9, 4.09. Both pitchers over 4 ERA. I mean, just talking about this and analyzing this game, if I was inside a Vegas warehouse right now, it's probably a tough game to try to decide on. And yeah, I mean, they're giving Milwaukee the edge today. I guess they don't trust Jeffrey Rodriguez on the mound. It's a close consensus, and even before I looked on covers, that's how I felt. High over-unders, a 9.5 over-under. I'm with that, man. I mean, I don't see any of these pitchers being a Chris Sale or Scherzer today in any means. It definitely could be another close game. I mean, Washington is 5-5 in their last 10. Brewers are 6-4. They're playing about the same kind of ball right now. Again, they're -115 on the money line. Brewers are, so it's not much to trust, as you can see in the pitching there. And I would definitely avoid both pitchers. Jeffrey Rodriguez, see, he's pitching on extra rest. You know, they reshuffle the lineup, and he's gonna. I mean, Milwaukee is pretty stacked, man. He has a couple double-digit FPTS. I don't see him doing that today. You know, he's a righty. They have some pretty good lefties in that Milwaukee lineup. He does give up the long ball every once in a while. Looks like he does like every other game. Didn't do it last game against the Mets. He was on the road. Here at home, he's scoring a 5.40 ERA. Very low FPPG at 7.9. He's giving up 12 earned runs and 20 in his pitch. Just not good at home at all. I don't want to even keep going further on that one. Definitely this is a game where offense, I think, will be sported. There's going to be some home runs in this game. I can probably even see Harper being a catalyst in this game for sure. Yelich, I mean, you got some bad boys that are banned from the left side of the plate right now. He hasn't really did much against Milwaukee this year, but he's doing a little bit better. Ironically, when you look at Harper, I mean, he's even 15 home runs at home and 15 on the road. Can you believe that? Right now, he slugs a little bit better at home, .532, OPS a little bit better, .914. He steals. He's a little bit more aggressive on the base. So, against a pitcher who is not doing very well this year, I think him playing at home gives him a better above-average metrics if he was to go with him. Definitely like the over. Definitely like the bats. You want to look at Milwaukee's lineup. Again, they got Yelich right there in the second position. Shaw, lefty. Thames, lefty. I mean, the management is going with 5 lefties against this guy. And he's going to have to pick his poison, shifting on side of the plate, going in and out, because pretty much all those guys can hit, I mean, on all sides of the plate. Like, Thames can hit opposite field. Moose can hit opposite field. Granderson, he knows the strike zone very well. Yelich is an all-star. Shaw has power. I mean, he fiddles out the lineup with Pena, Broxton, and Arcia. Some righties there to bomb the lineup. So he's gonna have a lot of issues before he gets to the bottom of that lineup there. For Guerrero, you got Eden lefty, Harper lefty, Soto lefty. Rendon can hit very good from the right side. Turner, he can put a bunt down and then get on base and just give you fits. So very interesting game to watch. Very interesting game, you know. I really wouldn't tell you what to do. I mean, I would actually go with Milwaukee in this game. I just don't like Jeffrey Rodriguez going against this lineup. I have a lot of respect for their lineup. There are some cracks in. I mean, they can walk Harper, go at Rendon. Soto is good, but he does still strike out. He's still learning the game. But with Difu and Keboom and Rodriguez at the bottom of that lineup, you know, I mean, Turner, you know, he can turn it up here and there, but I give the edge to Milwaukee today, definitely. You can put a Milwaukee stack in. I mean, that's pretty dangerous. I mean, Granderson, you know, he's not the same Granderson like he was 4 or 5 years ago, but he can still hit the ball. He can still hit a double. He can still go for yard every once in a while. And then with him getting on base and then got to go to Yelich, Shaw, things, Moose, and then Pena, that's a lot to deal with today. So we're going to move on from that game. We got Chicago and Philly. I'm going to try to wrap up here within the next 5 to 10 minutes and put this up here. They got Nola like he's some guy today, 12,800. I mean, the guy's been pitching very well. I'm not going to sit up here and lie. He's 15-3. He's on. I mean, he's really on. But, you know, whip is .97. 26.2 against Washington. It was a no decision. He gave up 4 hits and 7 innings pitch. He gave up an earned run. 2 runs were scored. But and his strikeouts capability is wonderful. I mean, 177 strikeouts on the year. He keeps the ball down very well. He's going against he's at home. And look at his home games. His ERA is .98 for his whip, ERA 1.94. It is a pitcher's park. He does very good in that park. But he, you know, the one game he started in Chicago, he didn't do very well. He gave up 3 earned runs. One of those was a homer. His whip was exceedingly more over his average at 1.33, .190 batting average. So his batting average is low, but he just had a little rough out in that time. And it could be because some of the lefties in their lineup. So, look at the lineup here. They got Murphy at the left, a different presence. Baez, you do have to watch him. Baez is a threat there in that second spot. Bryant is back in the lineup. And Schwarber, I mean, I'm liking their lineup. You know, Happ is a switch hitter. He can bat good from the lefty. He will get a little relief today because it's not an interleague play. Lester cannot. Well, I'm not going to say Lester can hit because I've seen Lester hit a home run before. But this is going to be a real good game. Vegas got an 8.0 over-under. They got Philly favored because of Nola's presence on the mound. But Philly's going to have to score some runs. I mean, Lester's a pretty crafty veteran. He's still, at his age, pitching pretty decent. 14-5 winning record on the year, 3.67 ERA. I see an under. I mean, they threw Bautista in the third position behind Hoskins. I don't know. I know Bautista has a long career, but he's lost a lot on his bat speed. I mean, he went from the Toronto to the Braves, from the Braves to the Mets, and now he's bouncing around to Philly, and then he's getting put in these third and fourth slots here. I mean, I don't know if that's going to help Philly or not. I just hope. I don't wish anything bad on anybody. Everybody knows the Braves is my team, but I don't know how that's going to work out. They got Roman Quinn there, Hoskins, very good player there. You can roster him on any day. Santana there. You know, let's look at Santana real quick. He's batting fourth. He's always going to be there for his veteran presence. He has a home run prowess. He has 20 home runs on the year. His average is not that great for a first baseman, 2.225. He doesn't have any home runs against Chicago this year in the 5 games they've played. He's got 6 hits, batting .316, slugging at .421, OPS .830, 7.2. He's giving you his FPPG when he plays them. Again, there's 2 good pitchers on the mound today, though. So I think that kind of takes a luster off. I know Lester's a left-handed. Santana does better from his right side. For all who follow baseball very intuitively, can anyone get to Nola in this game? They've dropped it. I mean, listen, man, they've dropped their salary considerably. You hear me? I mean, their salary has dropped, man, bad. Like, Murphy's 3,800. Contreras is 3,300? Really? Oh my gosh, man. But out of all that, they ain't giving up on Bryant, though. He's 4,500. Really? How you drop all these other players and then Bryant is still 4,500? DraftKings, you guys are crazy, man. But maybe you take a Bryant, you know. Maybe Bryant, you know. maybe, you know, he's done pretty good against him when he was healthy before he went on the DL. I'd say you can take Bryant if you want to in this lineup against Nola. He can hit different pitches. I'm just kind of laughing at when the pitchers hear how these salaries are affected by it. Baez also looking at his splits. He has a homer against the Phillies this year. His slugging is 400, 250 average, 29 home runs. I mean, you just have to be real bold, you know. But Nola's not easy to hit, man. I mean, his spin rate on his pitches is pretty awesome. It's a big contrast between him and everybody else. it's gonna be a tough game for the Cubs and Phillies, knowing that the Braves are there. They dropped that last game, 7-1. It's gonna have to be they're gonna have to ride Nola and find a way to get to Lester today and generate some runs. Again, you can definitely take Philly. I find something very interesting in this matchup, though. I find some kind of way the Cubs are gonna try to just kind of raise the occasion going against an all-star today. Very tough. Vegas have made it very tough to make a prediction on that 8-over. I over or under, I would probably have to go with an under, honestly. But both teams are having different things they're dealing with right now. I mean, the Cubs are at the top of their division, and Phillies are trying to make their way back up. They're only 3 games back. The Braves are playing 500. They're 5-5. So they are playing Pittsburgh at 5:05 later on today. So I'm talking from the single entry here. So we got the Boston and the White Sox. Again, I'll take the under. I'll be very cautious with the bats in that Cubs and Phillies game. I'll definitely go with some people who have power that can probably, once swing the bat, make a difference in the game. That's Hoskins. That's Bryant. You know, I think that Murphy is going to make Nola work. Murphy can hit the breaking ball very well. I do trust him. I'm not going to get fancy and look at any surprises. I think Schwarber is definitely not going to do much. He's going to strike out. If you want somebody that could definitely be like a surprise play, you can probably look at Kingery right there for Philly and Ian Happ outfield. Happ does pretty good batting from the left side also. But outside of Hoskins, Kingery, Happ, Bryant, and Murphy, Rizzo, you know, every pitcher respects Rizzo's power, and it's a righty versus lefty. You can definitely probably roster Rizzo if you want to take him at a first baseman. He's probably not going to get a lot of looks because of Nola, but you might get lucky and you might take him yard today or have an opportunity to drive someone in that gets on the base before him. Going to just fly off these last couple of games. I'm not going to really talk much about the Boston and White Sox game. is Brian Johnson on the mound? High ERA. Is someone on the back end of their lineup? James Shields on the mound. We'll look at that very quickly and just see. We know he has a hit, not a good record. It's 5-15 because the team's not playing good at all. Hasn't won against Boston this year. Been very mediocre. Gives up the home run ball a lot. I think Benintendi is out of the lineup today. Moreland comes back. Kinsler, they got him down in the sixth spot. I think he had a pretty good game yesterday. Hit his first home run. It's kind of a regress lineup. But at the same time, I think they definitely will take care of business today against a struggling White Sox team. I mean, outside of Davidson, I don't really see anybody. They got Moncada not batting leadoff. He's down at the seventh spot today. And then Sanchez, different looking the lineup. They have a lot of heavy right-handers there. I mean, Brian Johnson, he probably definitely would probably give up some runs today. He's 8,100. He has a 4.02 ERA. He's a lefty. So right now on covers, they got a -180. It's not an outrageous money line because of Brian Johnson's presence on the mound. It's a high over-under, 9.5. I agree with that. I agree with the 9.5 under because of these two pitchers on the mound. So I'm still picking the Red Sox to win that game. I wouldn't say you will do a stack today because the lineup without Benintendi looks a lot different. But you can definitely buy bets today. You can do, you probably go to the top of the lineup, honestly. I don't really see a lot of noise at the bottom of the lineup with Sweetheart, Holt, and Kinsler. But if you want to just do it, if you do a stack, definitely make sure you get some power with Moreland and Martinez. Definitely put Nunez in there because he will get pitches to hit after Martinez and Bogarts them go. They got Bogarts in that second spot today due to Benintendi being out. Definitely like his character right there. Betts probably might get walked. He might get a hit. Bogarts would have a lot of opportunity to get on base right there, batting in front of Moreland and Martinez. So, Robinson Bass, don't really like anybody in that lineup for the White Sox right now. And going forward, we got Cincinnati and St. Louis, Baltimore and Kansas City. Right now on the money line, that's a bottom burner competition. A lot of runs being expected. It's a 10 over under. Hess has probably been one of the sole bright spots for Baltimore right now. 6,600 is his salary. High ERA. He had a good outing against Toronto. Just when he goes out there, he doesn't get a lot of run support. In that game, he did. 7-0. I guess it felt bad because in that loss he had when he pitched good against Toronto back on the 22nd, they didn't give him any runs. So I like Hess. I mean, you can take Hess. In that game, Kansas City has been doing pretty good, surprisingly, lately. they've actually upset some people here in some games where people probably went against them. But they're a 60% favorite and a 40% consensus for the Orioles. Jorge Lopez is on the mound for those guys. Again, he has a no wins on the year, 4.86 ERA. Hasn't very done much of anything. In his log, when you look at it, he is a right-hander. Another thing about Lopez, if you look at his log, I mean, he doesn't go very long. 4 innings, 5 innings, 4.2, 3 innings. Not a lot of pedigree right there in the pitching for salary investment in him. I will look at something very quickly. I mean, they put up 4 runs yesterday. It's a close game. Kansas City won by 1. I see another close game and a lot of runs being scored. A lot of probably a lot of bullpen work for Kansas City. So their lineup right now. I don't see Mondesi in the lineup today because he's always a question mark right there. But they got lefty Gordon, Dozier, Merrifield, the top of the order for Kansas City. It looks very good. It's an American League against American League, no pitcher. Mancini bang cleanup. Even Chris Davis might get off on a pitcher like this who probably not going to be really fooling anybody. Villar looks good. I like everybody pretty much in Baltimore. Even Peterson, Jace Peterson, at being lefty, can go off. It could be a sleeper team today, Baltimore. So, no pitching. You can definitely get some percentage of own bats in that game. All right, got Minnesota and Texas. Again, that's going to probably most likely be another high-scoring game. It's a 12 over under. Can you believe that? Man, you got to be careful in a game like that because you keep your eye off on a game like that and next thing you know, that's one of those 12 to 10 games. And these analytics don't lie. Definitely no pitching. They got no lineup posted for Minnesota as yet. Texas did pretty good yesterday. They beat Minnesota. I did have Gallardo in my late lineup as a sleeper play. I like Chu, Odor. I mean, Mazzara. We got Beltre. A game like this where a pitcher is not a pedigree or a veteran like Beltre can come out and do very well. Minnesota is actually favored on the money line. But that's going to be very interesting because we haven't seen their lineup posted as yet. And they got Luke Weaver and Discalfani, St. Louis against the Reds today. St. Louis still battling there. Carpenter at the top of the lineup looks good against the right-hander there, Discalfani. We got Jose Martinez, Molina. We talked about the catch position. I do like Bader today, even though he's a right against a right. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities if Discofani kind of puts some runners on there with DeJong banding in the fifth spot there. And then, you know, it's a pitcher on a pitcher situation. Both pitchers have high ERAs, over four. Don't really like too much of the pitching in that game. It's an 8.5 over. St. Louis is favored because of where they are and what they need to accomplish going down the stretch. It's not going to be an easy game for Luke Weaver. He still has Votto, Gannett. And they got Bill Hamilton at the top of the lineup due to it being a National League game. Schriebler right there, band behind Suarez. I like the offense right now going against St. Louis. This is not going to be an easy game for them. If you want the money line to take Cincinnati, I say go all ahead. All right, well, I'm got 2 minutes here before tip off. Go ahead and roster your lineups. I know you probably have to listen to the podcast during some of the games that they start at 1 o'clock. Maybe it can help you into some of your 2 o'clock matchups, okay? At 1:30. Y'all take care. Bye.